If you've been ranching long enough, you've lived through at least one of these. A drought that just kept going, a wildfire moving faster than you thought possible, or a blizzard that buried calves before you could get to them. Any one of those events can shake an operation to its core. And yet, a lot of producers don't really have a plan in place until after disaster has already hit. Today, we're talking about how to change that. I'm here today with John Hewlett, a ranch and farm management extension specialist with the University of Wyoming and a member of the Right Risk Team.
That's the heart of it. Disaster is not really an if question for most livestock producers, and it's a when. The goal is to have tools in place before it happens and to know what to reach for after it does. And there are more options available than a lot of producers realize.
The Right Risk newsletter this month lays it out in two buckets: coverage you put in place before loss, and assistance that may be available after. Let's start with the before. What are the main tools producers should know about?
The first one I'd point to is PRF insurance, pasture, rangeland, and forage. This is one of the most widely used tools for livestock producers, and it's built specifically for the situation where your pasture just doesn't get enough rain. It pays based on a rainfall index, NOAA climate data tied to roughly 17 by 17 mile grid areas, not what your personal rain gauge reads. Producers can choose coverage levels between 70% and 90% and select the two-month intervals that matter most to their operation.
So if your critical window is early summer grass, you set it up around that.
Exactly. And one deadline that matters. The sales closing date for PRF is December 1st. That's coming around before you know it every year. And if you miss it, you're waiting another 12 months.
What if a producer has crops they're putting up for grazing or silage? Does PRF cover that?
That's where annual forage insurance comes in. It works similarly, but it's designed for planted annual forages. Hay, silage, green chop. The sales closing dates vary with major windows on May 1st, July 15th, and July 31st, depending on crop and location. So, if that applies to your operation, talk to your local crop insurance agent soon and get the specific dates for your area.
What about forages that aren't eligible for standard crop insurance at all? I know some native grasses fall into that gap.
That's where NAP comes in, the Non-Insured Crop Disaster Assistance Program, run through your local FSA office. It fills the gap where traditional crop insurance isn't available. Basic coverage protects 50% of approved yield at 55% of average market price, and there are buy-up options that go higher. It's not as robust as some other policies, but it's a real backstop for operations that carry no other coverage.
And for a more diversified operation, somebody who runs both cattle and crops, or maybe sells direct, what fits there?
Whole farm revenue protection. It covers all commodities on the farm under one policy. It's available in every county in the country, and it's built for farms with up to $17 million in insured revenue. If you've got mixed income streams, it's worth a serious look.
Now, I know some of our listeners are probably thinking, what about price risk? If a disaster forces me to sell cattle at the wrong time, that's a whole separate problem.
It is. And there are tools for that, too. Though it's worth being clear up front that these are price and margin tools, not disaster programs. Livestock Risk Protection, LRP, protects against price declines with coverage periods ranging from 13 to 52 weeks. Livestock Gross Margin, or LGM, goes a step further and protects your gross margin, not just the sale price. That one's available for fed cattle, dairy, and swine. They won't trigger a disaster payment, but when a blizzard or drought forces a different marketing plan than you had, having that protection in place can be the thing that keeps a bad situation from getting a lot worse.
Okay, so that's the before. Let's say the worst has happened. Wildfire came through, or a late blizzard hit during calving. What are the main programs available on the recovery side?
There are several, and they each cover something different, so let's go through them. The Livestock Indemnity Program, LIP, pays for livestock deaths above normal mortality caused by extreme weather. Payments are based on 75% of fair market value. For losses in 2024 and later years, the notice of loss and application are due by March 1st following the calendar year of the loss, and there's a separate 30-day deadline specifically for injured livestock that were sold at a reduced price after the event. That one catches people off guard. Act quickly on it.
So that's a tight window. What about forage losses? If a drought or fire just burns up your grass, is there help for that?
That's the Livestock Forage Disaster Program, or LFP. It pays on a per-head basis and can cover up to 180 grazing days. But there's a threshold for drought. The county has to be designated D2 or higher on the U.S. Drought Monitor, and that designation has to persist for at least 8 consecutive weeks to trigger the first payment. D3 and D4 designations trigger larger payments. A brief appearance on the Drought Monitor doesn't automatically qualify. That's an important detail to understand before you're counting on it.
That catches a lot of people by surprise. They think if the Drought Monitor shows drought, they're covered. And it's not quite that simple.
Right? The duration matters. Now, for losses that LIP and LFP don't cover, feed and water shortages, water hauling costs during drought, that's where ELAP comes in, the Emergency Assistance for Livestock, Honeybees, and Farm-Raised Fish. It covers up to 75% of approved market value for eligible losses. It fills a lot of gaps.
And there's one program in that list that the newsletter says is often overlooked. Tell us about that one.
The Emergency Conservation Program, ECP, after a wildfire, flood, or severe drought, ECP can help with debris removal, restoring permanent fences, restoring conservation structures, and emergency water conservation measures. Cost share runs up to 75% of approved costs and up to 90% for limited resource producers in eligible situations. Fencing alone after a fire can be an enormous expense, and a lot of producers don't know this program exists.
What about producers who need bridge financing to get through recovery? Not everybody has cash in hand to replace a herd or rebuild infrastructure.
Emergency farm loans can help with that in disaster-designated counties, replacing livestock or equipment, covering production expenses, refinancing certain debts. Applications generally need to be submitted within 8 months of the disaster designation date, and the newsletter makes a point that feels especially timely right now. Even if you've got strong land equity, cash flow is tight for a lot of operations. Talk to your lender before making large recovery purchases, not after. You want to understand what you're working with first.
Before we move on from the FSA programs, is there anything a producer needs to have in place just to be eligible for any of this assistance at all?
Yes, and this is something the newsletter flags specifically because it's easy to overlook until it's too late. Producers must have an AD-1026, that's the Conservation Compliance Form, on file with their local FSA office before they can receive disaster assistance payments, any of them. If that form isn't current when you go to file a claim, it can hold up or disqualify your payment entirely. So if you haven't checked on yours recently, do it now, before you ever need to use it.
That's the kind of detail that doesn't seem urgent until it suddenly is.
Exactly. A quick conversation with your FSA office can make sure that box is checked well ahead of time.
There's also help outside the federal programs. What else should producers know about?
Don't overlook your State Department of Agriculture, extension offices, conservation districts, grazing associations, and breed and commodity groups. Depending on the event, those networks can connect you to donated hay lists, temporary pasture, fencing help, or bridge financing options. And farmers.gov has a free disaster assistance discovery tool that helps producers figure out which programs fit their specific situation. That's a good starting point if you're not sure where to begin.
What about NRCS? Do they have any role in disaster recovery?
They do, and it's worth knowing about. The Environmental Quality Incentives Program, EQIP, can provide cost-share assistance for recovery and resilience work on the land, including practices that reduce your vulnerability to future drought, fire, and flood. And the Emergency Watershed Protection Program, or EWP, can help address watershed damage from natural disasters. It's delivered through eligible local sponsors, so check with your local NRCS office to see what's available in your area.
And the newsletter also mentions some programs that come and go, temporary relief packages that Congress authorizes after major events.
Right. And one example worth naming is the Emergency Livestock Relief Program, ELRP. It provided supplemental assistance for drought, wildfire, or flood losses in 2023 and 2024 under the American Relief Act. That's not part of the permanent set of livestock disaster programs, but Congress does periodically pass similar packages. So keep an eye on your local FSA office for any new supplemental programs that may be authorized after a major event.
Is there anything else in the recovery checklist that producers might not think to ask about?
One that's easy to miss. If drought is part of the problem and you've got CRP acres in your county, ask your FSA office whether emergency haying or grazing of those CRP acres has been approved before you start any activity. It's not always available, but it can be a real relief valve when forage is short. Just don't assume. Confirm it first.
The newsletter also raises something that's easy to overlook in the middle of a crisis: taxes.
Yes. When drought forces unplanned livestock sales or a large insurance payment arrives, the tax bill can be a real surprise. Cash basis farmers in a federally declared disaster area may be able to defer income from weather-related livestock sales to the following tax year. Breeding, dairy, and draft animals sold due to adverse weather may also qualify for favorable reinvestment treatment. Talk to your tax professional before you make those sales if you can, and definitely before the end of the year.
The newsletter also mentions that the Right Risk Analytics Toolbox has specific tools to help producers work through these decisions. That feels worth spending a moment on.
Knowing what programs exist is one thing. Figuring out which combination actually makes sense for your operation is harder. The Risk Scenario Planner, the RSP, helps you compare the costs and benefits of different risk management strategies under uncertainty. So it can help you think through whether a PRF premium is worth it for your operation, or whether buying hay versus selling calves early makes more financial sense in a drought. And for longer run questions, rebuilding a cow herd, replacing fencing and water infrastructure, reseeding forage, the Multi-Temporal Risk Analyzer, the MTRA, is built for exactly that. It handles decisions that play out over multiple years. Both tools are free at rightrisk.org/riskanalytics.
That's a genuinely useful resource when the decisions get complicated.
And they do get complicated. The other thing the newsletter closes with that I think matters just as much as any program, it's people. Disaster recovery puts stress on everyone in the operation. Family, hired hands, contractors. Fatigue is real. Decisions made under that kind of stress often aren't always the best ones. The newsletter recommends a brief daily check-in with the people around you during recovery, and I think that's exactly right. Keeping communication open can catch problems before they get worse and keep good workers from walking away.
Because a recovered herd and a burned out team isn't really a recovery.
That's well put.
All right, let's bring it home. Three things to carry out of today's conversation. First, the most important time to act is before disaster hits. PRF, LRP, LGM, WFRP, know which tools fit your operation and get them in place. Watch those sales closing dates because most of them won't wait. Second, if disaster does strike, document everything fast. Take photos within the first 24 to 72 hours. Contact your crop insurance agent and your FSA office right away. And keep a running record of all losses and expenses through the recovery. The difference between a full payment and nothing at all often comes down to paperwork and timing. And third, you don't have to figure out the best path forward alone. Right Risk analytics tools are free. Your extension office and FSA are there to help. And the disaster assistance discovery tool at farmers.gov is a good place to start when you're not sure what you qualify for.
Disaster programs can keep a bad year from becoming a fatal year for the business, but no program makes you whole on its own, and no payment makes the decision for you. The strongest response comes from layering your tools, coverage before the event, fast documentation after it, and careful planning before the next big move.
Thanks for joining us today. For resources, tools, and past issues of Right Risk News, visit rightrisk.org.
Take care of yourselves out there and each other.